Sandy Parks, live from the Washington Times, hour number three underway, and I believe we're about to get a first-hand report from our intrepid reporter in Boston, Massachusetts. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Cooner. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Andy.
Yeah, are you in Boston?
I'm in Boston. I'm barely surviving right now. The power is going on and off as I speak to you.
Really?
Yeah, there's blizzard. I mean, literally, it's blizzard-like conditions out there. It's really bizarre.
Wow.
High winds. The snow, Andy, it's not coming down straight. I swear to you, it's coming down sideways. It's coming so fast and so furious. It's piling up. Andy, we're getting about 3 inches an hour. What is stunning is they've changed their forecast. They
Uh-oh.
Said 2 feet of snow yesterday.
Yeah.
They're now predicting up to 3 feet.
Wow.
For the greater Boston area with hurricane-like winds. And I was just telling Ann Wogue, when I left work today at the studio at noon, right after the show, I ran out.
Mm-hmm.
It was bizarre because I was the only, I don't say the only, but I was one of the few cars on the road.
Wow.
It's just strange to be driving on a highway that's normally heavily congested.
Yeah.
And there's like you and like the occasional truck.
Yeah.
And you're looking around and honestly, Andy, you think like it's like the apocalypse or like a Hollywood zombie movie or something.
Yeah, they're calling it snow. What do they call it? Snowcopolis or no? What was it? I don't know. I can't remember now. Something.
No, really, it's Snowcopolis. No, really, it's like you know, it's really or Snowmageddon. I mean,
that's
just,
it. Yeah.
I swear, it's almost like a Hollywood movie. I'm waiting for the zombies to come out. I swear, and attack me on the road.
Yeah.
And Andy, it was strange because the governor, Deval Patrick, came out and basically said, you know, after noon or 1 o'clock, you really shouldn't be on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, don't be on the road. But now they've issued an emergency decree. I kid you not, Andy. After 4 o'clock, so basically it's been in effect for about an hour, 10 minutes, if you're on the road, you're not only going to be fined, they're going to put you in prison.
Ah, okay. All right.
It's like a fascist dinner. What's wrong with these people? You know, but, Andy, honestly, I've never seen something like this in my life. I've never seen the run on the stores. Andy, they had to bring in cops to many, they call them Stop and Shops here. I guess it's our equivalent of Safeway.
Yeah.
I mean, they're Stop and Shops, these grocery stores, pandemonium, long lines. There's no bread. There's no bread. There's no milk. There are no eggs. There's no chocolate. You have people waiting in line. There's hardly nothing left. People are coming out and saying, this is incredible. There's no food.
Wow.
There's no food. And people are fighting over the little bits of food. I kid you not. They've had to call in the police in many of these grocery stores, at these Stop and Shops, and to restore order. It's almost like out of a movie. I've never seen this. The city, there's nobody there. People have left. There's been a mass exodus. They ran to the airport before they closed it down.
Yeah.
Their subway, their buses, their railway, it is completely shut down. There is nobody on the streets. It looks like an abandoned old west town. Everybody's indoors. The snow is coming. We're all expecting to lose power in about 2 to 3 hours.
Wow.
And then we're just hoping they can restore it by tomorrow morning when the storm is supposed to end.
Yeah.
We could be buried under 3 feet, Andy.
Yeah. Now, are you there by yourself or your family back home?
No. I'm here with my wife. I'm here with my kids.
Oh, okay. All right. Well.
So we're here. We're just riding out the storm. I got jugs of water.
Yeah.
I've got canned goods. I've got flashlights.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing missing is my gun.
Oh, good.
Well, I mean, just in case. You know,
yeah.
There are burglars,
yeah,
or something. Or
well.
It gets so bad, Andy,
yeah,
after 6-7 days with no power.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want that thing that happened in the 1880s. It was one of the worst snowstorms up in Lake Tahoe, where they had to resort to cannibalism over the dead bodies.
Oh, my God.
You remember that? No, really. It's a huge thing. So this is how people are reacting, that there's going to be cannibalism in 7 weeks. Sorry, in 7 days, in a week. I mean, it's Andy, it's out of control. I'm looking around. I say, guys, it's a snowstorm. A couple of feet will fall.
Yeah.
You'll lose power for a day, maybe two. By Sunday, everything's up and rolling. And by Monday, we'll all be back at work.
There you go. Well, listen, I got a couple of minutes left here. So why don't we talk about the consequences of a nuclear Iran? That's your piece in today's Washington Times. You know, in light of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad coming out this week and saying that they are already nuclear powered, that has got to be a great concern.
Andy, to me, it's a stunning development. I'm shocked that the American press corps has ignored the story. Haaretz, which is one of the most respected newspapers in the world, it's really sort of the Times of London, the official paper of Israel. It's right up there with the Jerusalem Post, reported the story. It's been picked up by the foreign press, the European press, the British press, the Middle Eastern press, the Arab press. Everybody's running with this, except here in the United States. It's to me, it's very bizarre. Here you have the leader of a rogue terrorist state, the most dangerous terrorist state in the world, tell a newspaper in Egypt at a major Islamic conference, on the record, in a long interview, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, that Iran has now crossed the threshold. In his words, almost verbatim, we are now an industrial nuclear state. We are now a nuclear power. We are not going back. We will never go back. Now, that means, according to me, that they have the capability not only to develop nuclear energy and nuclear power, but if need be, the capacity to develop a nuclear bomb. So what he basically has told the world is that we are now either nuclear or we're on the verge of getting the bomb. And this has created shockwaves across Europe, rightly, shockwaves across Israel, shockwaves across the Middle East. Here is a man who has openly said repeatedly and unequivocally and publicly that he believes his aim, his mission, his divinely inspired mission, is to help eradicate the state of Israel, to, quote, wipe it off the face of the earth, unquote. A man who denies the Holocaust. A man who says he wants to uproot Zionism. A man who says that he believes that we are approaching the end of days. Those are his words. In which the 12th Imam, which in Shiite theology means the sort of the Shiite Christ or the Shiite Messiah, will come to the earth. In which the world will be engulfed in a ball of fire, which will begin with the destruction of the Jews and the destruction of Israel to create a permanent world Muslim empire. And that he sees himself literally in theological messianic terms as helping to bring about the 12th Imam. In other words, the destruction of Israel and basically a nuclear war that will engulf the world in a great struggle between Islam and the rest of the world, in which the Muslim Christ will appear and vanquish all of Islam's enemies. And this man has now said, we have gone nuclear. I can tell you this with absolute certainty, Andy. The Saudis are petrified. The Kuwaitis are petrified. The Turks are petrified. The Israelis are staring at another Holocaust. They are stunned by this news. They have been rocked by this news. Their intelligence services are desperately trying to find out, is he bluffing?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a possibility, and I mentioned that in my column. He may just want to inoculate himself from potential Israeli or Western or U.S. airstrikes by saying we're already a nuclear power, so don't mess with us. So there is a possibility that he's lying. Yet, what if he's not lying? And as I mentioned on my program, and I didn't have that much of a chance to get into it in my column, but as a student of history, as somebody who's taught the 20th century in particular, which is my expertise, the one thing about Hitler and the one thing about generally ideological fanatics in general is, yes, they're evil, yes, they're depraved, and yes, in many ways, they suffer from an excess of ambition and they always bring about their own doom and collapse. But they tend to be very sincere men. In the sense that, like with Hitler in Mein Kampf, everything he said he was going to do, he did. It was there. The thing about Ahmadinejad, he's not a liar. Tactically, he lies. He says we're not developing a program, well, we know he is. But when he talks about his ambitions, when he talks about his vision of an Islamic-dominated world, of a Jew-free world, of a Jewish world conspiracy that must be stamped out, he's open about this. He says it to everybody. He says it to foreign reporters. He says it to his domestic people. He says it for external purposes. There is something, and this is what's frightening about him. There are a lot of Jew haters in the Middle East, but Israelis tell me this all the time. He has the fanatical sincerity of a Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
You look at his eyes, and he believes it when he says it.
Yep.
And the thought of this man having a nuclear bomb, Andy, I think is going to be the greatest geopolitical development of our time. I think it shows that Obama's policies, if it's true, his engagement, his policies of sanctions, his policies of appeasement, have desperately failed. And if I was Israel right now, within the next week or two, I would be putting together a very serious military campaign to topple this man from power and to destroy all of his underground bunkers and nuclear facilities before it's too late.
If you haven't read it, check it out, folks. Consequences of a Nuclear Iran. It's by Jeff Kooner. It's in today's Washington Times. All right, my friend, hunker down and survive the weekend and get back to work on Monday. Hopefully you only have 4 or 5 feet of snow to deal with.
Andy, I may get a hernia shoveling. That's my biggest concern right now.
Take it easy.
Bye, Andy.
See ya. Jeff Kooner of the Washington Times, 516, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.